Good morning. I want to remind you, and we're going to want to pray, our young adults and several of our youth are up at Pinora this weekend. And just as we get started, let's ask God to be with us and with them as we enter into worship. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, I pray that we would receive all that you have for us in this day. And we thank you, Lord, with grateful hearts. Lord, there are many, many things that we have neglected to tell you thank you for. And Lord, move our hearts. Remind us of the many ways that you have demonstrated your provision and your care and your love. Lord, let us embrace you as our Father. Lord, we pray for all those that are at Pinora. Lord, we pray that you're speaking to them. That, Lord, they are saying yes to you. That, Lord, they would allow you to hug them, love them, pull them up in your lap, and remind them how precious they are to you. And Lord, we pray that you would give them the ability to resolutely seek you and serve you. Lord, there is nothing more powerful. And I pray, Lord, in a dark and often confusing world, that you will help them to hear your voice and that you would make their paths straight as they follow you. Lord, we ask you to move right now. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm going to talk with you about being who we are. Whenever we are born in the spiritual way and our trajectory of our lives change, whether that's a point in time, whether it's kind of gradual, there still is some point where the trajectory that we were in changes and it becomes the trajectory that God has for us in our lives. The journey of faith is about moving along that trajectory. One of the very most important parts of that trip is that we're making that trip together. So today I want to talk about the part of this journey that has to do with God's family. So that's where I'm going today. John, if you would kind of pull it up. I'm going to tell you a few stories. Even before I get to this passage, whenever I was 20 years old, I was in college, and God used a series of people and relationships to pull me in and show me what the body of Jesus was all about, the body of Christ. Now, at that point, I really wasn't in church, but a guy that I played baseball with who knew that I professed faith, and he knew that I was kind of rough around the edges. I was really rough around the edges. And he said, "You want to come to church with me?" I said, "Okay." I said, "Ethan, I'll go with you." And we were in a little art building that we met. It's kind of like an old school kind of thing. And in a group of he and I and another baseball player and the football player and another guy that went to another school, we spent time together. And then very soon after that, God put me in amongst a group of guys and gals at a good old Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina, affectionately called Sparkle City, because it was the exact opposite of Sparkle City. There in FCA, Fellowship Christian Athletes, God developed me, showed me what church was about. These guys, they let me hang around in their dorm room all the time. We went out to eat at 11:30 at night at Mikey's Diner and messed with Miss Mary until we just drove her crazy. She was a cranky little old lady that Jesus loved, and we just played with her. We would go to places. We would go to Presbyterian College and hang out with other believers. We would do things together. We had groups on campus. But in that experience, God showed me what it was supposed to be like when you share your life. Because there were very few, "No, don't be here." You know, it was like whenever we wanted to be somewhere, we went and knocked on a door and somebody was around. Somebody was available. We went to church together. We ate together. I can't tell you how many pizzas we bought that were this big. We all contributed and we sat down and just had pizza meals, with very little planning. You know, God showed me things that I didn't know what he was showing me at that time. Now, unlike some of you, I stayed a single adult for a very long period of time in life. Okay, I was single until I was 30. So I graduated from college and I went back home, and after a couple of years, got into a congregation that now John's son Michael is a part of in Atlanta. And in that group of single adults, we weren't like kids, I got to experience again some of what I experienced in college. Friends that I could hang out with, that I could call, that we did things together, we went places, we learned together, we talked faith together, we had retreats, we did all those things that you do in the body. We spent time with one another, we encouraged one another, and I had a roommate, was an accountant, and I can't tell you how many times I either watched him or helped him in some way study for all these tests that he had to take. Okay? It's a matter of sharing life. In fact, I can even tell you that there was one guy that was in the group. One of the big movies that came out back in those good old days was Top Gun. And he knew every line from Top Gun. He had it memorized. He could be in the kitchen, in the room, outside the room, and the movie was on TV, and he could say the next line before it happened. Dave was a character. You know why I tell you that? Whenever I moved to Fort Worth, after 5 years in Atlanta, I went to Fort Worth and I found a church there whenever I was in Fort Worth that was a lot like the church that I had been in Atlanta. And again, I got to experience that amongst the single adults. And the reason why was because that was my family, folks. Those were the people that I hung out with. Those were the people that knew me, that cared for me, that I could call, that we played sport. We shared life. Now, the funny thing was, at that point, whenever I was single, I thought, oh, I need these people to exist. Funny thing happens whenever you get married. You start to think sometimes that you don't need all those people to exist. And you do. So I tell you all this to tell you today, I want to talk about what this life together is all about. And you're not just going to hear it from me. But I want to look at a couple of passages that give us a bird's eye glimpse into the early church and what kind of things the Apostle Paul was saying that this life should be alike. And then I want to give a few of you that I've already talked to an opportunity to share with us about some things. So, first passage you want to look at is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Paul wrote, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Second passage. So Christ Himself, actually I think this is more of the same. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's a lot of stuff. That's a mouthful. That's all going on. Paul's saying this is how it works, and this is how it should work in Ephesus, and it's how it should work in Savannah. It's how it should work here. Next passage, John. Earlier in Ephesians, he said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, His family, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That raises, it raises what we are and who we are and why we are here and what we are about. Last passage, Romans chapter 12. Here, Paul wrote to the Romans. He had said a lot of things that were doctrinal, but here he kind of gets to the practical. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Next slide, please, John. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Here we have three passages. If just to sit here and read these, it's hard to get our minds and heads and hearts around all that this life is supposed to be about. But we know this. We can see, and it's clear, that there are three things that this life is about. Three important things. Now, obviously, I'm grouping and kind of categorizing. Okay? So hang in there with me. But you can see all three of these in these passages, repeated over and over with an exclamation point. So the first one, I've asked somebody to help me talk about. So hang in there, folks. And they know I'm coming. So Michelle, tell us just a little bit about sharing life and how God's family is about sharing life together.
Well, let's see. For us, being a part of God's family and sharing life together became very real in 2005 when we moved to Kentucky and we were going to a Christian boarding school where we knew no one and we had no family to lean on because all of our family was still here. And so when you get there, we had to rely on the other believers that we worked with, taught with, ate with, worshiped with, to be our family. And they did that in very real ways. Starting, we were there 12 days, I guess, when Joshua had to have emergency surgery. And I called a school where Jonathan was at work and, the first lady that answered the phone was Miss Patty, who was the best great-grandmother to all three of my children. And she put somebody in touch with Jonathan to get him to the hospital to me. And I cannot tell you the number of people that we had to call on to say, hey, can you watch our kids so we can do this? And then moving back home, knowing that we were coming to a church family that was bigger, and I know we have a lot of blood family here, but a church family that loves my children and loves us as their own. Last spring, Jonathan and I were out of town for something, and we had one child who had a soccer practice at one end of town, and one child who had a baseball game at another end of town, and a third child who didn't have anything going on that night. And all of our blood family was busy. And so Lynn Strickland says, I've got Malia. She can come hang out with Ellie. No problem. Dusty says, I love baseball. Me and Joe are going to a ball game. And Audrey says, never been to soccer practice, so I'm taking Josh. And I know I didn't have to worry about my children because we do life together here. And that is comforting.
And it is blood family. It's just Christ's blood.
That's right.
Every one of us has a story, I hope, okay, about how people in this congregation, when you need them, were there. Not only that, they were there when you didn't need them. Okay? Whether it was because somebody was playing a game and you found somebody from the congregation sitting next to you in the stands just because they know your kids are playing. Or the people who, whenever one of my cars goes down, lets me borrow a car, which I'll probably be calling them again soon. That we do that. And I'm telling you, this is a part of what Paul was writing about. These people were together. They knew what the needs were, and they didn't mind calling and They didn't mind saying something whenever something was going on, because they knew that it was not about selfishness. They knew it was about God providing through each other. I want you to know that. And I'm going to tell you, I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. If I was living somewhere else, and somebody told me this church existed, and I could get a job and be here, I would move here just to be here, just to be with you, because it's been that awesome. Perfect? Absolutely not, but awesome. So the second thing I asked somebody to talk a little bit about was growing up, being nurtured and supported. We kind of hinted to that, but I've asked Stephen to say some things about that.
I'm sure most of you know my story, where I came from. For those of you who didn't, some 10 years ago, Lynn Whitmore's son asked me to come to this church. And at the time, I was staying in a homeless shelter. And so I started coming, and the Lord has taken me through some things and really grown me. And He has used so many of you to be a blessing to me and to just encourage me and to just believe in me without me even knowing that you were praying for me. I knew you were praying for me, and I just appreciate that. And I was reading a devotional this morning, and it says, I just lost it. I'm sorry. God comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And that's 2 Corinthians 1:4. And the support that I've received, the nurturing I've received here has been so awesome. And the growth that I have seen in myself and the growth that I have seen and am seeing in this church family, and as we're about to make this big transition, has been powerful to me. Some things that have happened within our family in the last year have been amazing, just to see the growth that because of having a foundation of support, having a foundation where people are quick to love you and quick to encourage you, and quick to just say, hey, you're going to be okay because I have faith in the God that you believe in, is it's been priceless to me.
Thank you, Steve. You know, around here, we don't find discipleship to be about learning stuff that stays between your ears. And I hope that you understand that, yes, it's important to know truth. It's important to engage what God has said to us in His Word. Absolutely. But if we aren't letting that get to our lives, and we're not dealing with the hard lessons that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and bring to us through that same Word, we're just whistling Dixie in the graveyard. And it's messy. And I'm glad that we get to share the stories of not just it's messy, but that there is really a direction where it all goes. almost every Sunday, Stephen's back there with our kids in Kids Zone, teaching them, showing them, loving them. Just think all the things that had to happen for that to be true. I've also asked John Bonifacio, our King Bear, to share a little bit about, I know you're going to break your necks, turn around, I know, but I chose to do it this way, so I'm going to live with it. I've asked John to share a little bit about fulfilling roles and bearing responsibilities. So here you go, John.
It's been interesting to see through the years all the people that have come through. When we first started, you could put all of us in a car. It was Dusty, Audrey, me, Tina, in the living room. And it's been neat to see the hundreds of people that have come through and the way things have changed, because the more of you that came along, the more we could see God using your gifts and using you in the body, mentoring, teaching, lifting people up, praying for them. And that's been a blessing to see that through the years. My job changes through the years. It's always been to make Dusty look as good as he can be. But it's a full-time job. And I don't succeed at that very well, but yes, you will. Yes, you will. But to see through the years how God's challenged us, and this big challenge that's in front of us now with this transition, this move, we're going to see that all in some measure start again. Because we come in today, there's no chairs to set up, there's no walls to put up, there are things to do. But a lot of it, to many of the people that come through the doors, think that everything's done. And that changes again now, because you know some of those that you have been with us for quite some years, you remember what it was like to load the trailer and to unload the walls and to unload everything that you brought with you. So it's been a blessing to see that transition. And I think the opportunities for mentoring is going to be even greater than we've ever seen, because those that have done before, we need to step up and show others how that was done and the attitude of how that comes about, of being more of the body hands-on daily as we come together. So it's been a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Y'all don't know how important John is to doing what we do. I know you know it. I know you know somewhat, but you don't know how much. We lean on John a whole lot. There are people that we know who secretly wish that there was a place and a people like we are. You remember the old joke, you got Prince Albert in the can? Well, let him out. Okay, I don't want to be found guilty of somebody saying you kept Jesus in the can. We're going to have a lot of chances. We have chances now. Look, I am not saying that any one of us is perfect, but with Jesus in the middle of us, we are a lot more close to being perfect than we are by ourselves being miserable. I know that. And every one of us is at a different place in our spiritual lives. But we do need each other, and God has given us to one another, and there's more people that need to know this. They need to know Jesus in the way that He has moved us to live Jesus out. We need to be praying. We need to be submitting to one another, like it says in Ephesians chapter 5, out of reverence for Christ, so that we can be and become all that He wants us to be as His body. It is awesome to be a part of you. I don't know what life would be like without you. Thank you for 15 wonderful years. And the cool thing is, there's a whole lot more to come for every one of us, no matter what the number is there. So here's my question. Are you getting everything out of this that God wants you to get? Are you putting everything into this that God wants you to put? Are you really living? Are you doing these things? Are you sharing life with people? Are you getting support, and are you giving support? Are you learning and growing and getting challenged? And are you learning and growing and helping other people grow? Are you investing in other people? Are there things that God wants you to do because He wants to grow you, whether it is a role or responsibility? You know, around here, we're not big on positions. Y'all know that, right? Okay? Here's my tangent for the day. Hang in there for a second. If you want to lead somebody, you want to be a leader in the kingdom of God, go get some people to lead. Does that make sense? Go find them. Let God bring them to you. You don't need my permission for you to evangelize or to develop people or to reach people for Jesus. Do you understand this? He has ordained you as His ambassadors. You don't need a position to do that. Does this make sense? Go and be who you're meant to be. I love the opportunity to partner with you whenever God gives us opportunity. And that's what this congregation is about. But the kingdom is so much bigger than us, and you all know that. I love you. I love you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the journey that You have allowed us to share and that, Lord, You have in store for us in the future. Lord, whether it's a day, whether it's a pile of weeks, whether it's a pile of years, Lord, it's a wonderful journey. And I thank You for all that You have in store for us and all that You've done. Lord, I pray that You would well up in us and help us to love You and love one another with all our hearts. And that, Lord, we will submit to You in every way, and that we'll submit to one another out of reverence for You. And that, Lord, we will grow up so that whenever we grow up together, we look like Jesus. And, Lord, we will not desire to be anything less than the body that looks like You. Lord, I ask You to move in our hearts, and I'll speak to You again. Whenever you came in, you got cards. If there's a prayer request, we ask you to put them on there. But if there's an area where you want God to grow you, I encourage you to put it on that card and say, pray with me about growing in this way. That's what the body is all about. We'll pray with you. Lord God, move in us. Challenge us. Help us to live this life, this family life that You've given us. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Dusty and Audrey will be up here. I'll be over here. If there's something you want to pray with us about, we'll be here for a few minutes. Most importantly, wherever you are, whether you move or whether you don't, I encourage you to be listening and talking with God in the silence of your heart about whatever He speaks to you about. I want to ask you a question. Who are the members of this church? And what does it take to be a member of this church? The people who are members of this church are the people who live like they're members of this church. So if you live as a member, you're a member. It's not a list. It's no check off. Yeah, Brian said, take tests. No, there's no test, okay? It's just live like it, okay? High threshold, okay? High threshold. So my encouragement, let's go out and live like it this week, okay? Let's enjoy it.